morning time. It's 8:31. We thank you for joining us. This is the Hot Seat for today, Monday, 8th of April, in the year 2024. This morning, I'm going to be in and out. Well, when I say in and out, I mean probably more out than in, because I'm leaving in a little while to go over to the Magistrates Court. I have an engagement there this morning on this 2017 matter, where I was charged along with Dr. Thompson Fontaine and Edison James for incitement. There were others who were charged for obstruction. Other members of the United Workers Party team that was charged were charged for obstruction. Those matters, that matter has been adjourned sine die, not well, indefinitely. That's not to use the word sine die. I don't know whether they will return to the court or whether they'll come back, but what has been going on for the past few years is this incitement matter. The matter against Edison James has been sent to the High Court. Not exactly sure with the one against Thompson Fontaine, maybe in the High Court as well. My matter is still in the Magistrates Court, and I'm going there this morning, the Magistrates Court, to, well, for hearing. I've been summoned, so I'll be there this morning from 9 o'clock. And then after that, I'm not sure how long it's going to last, whether proceedings will actually begin this morning. We're at the stage of the preliminary inquiry, what they call the PI. So we'll see what happens this morning. Whatever, I will update you as necessary. But maybe I'll be back here this morning, maybe not. But if not, then this afternoon for talk on the block. All right. But there's a lot to share with you. As you know, the Prime Minister and his team came back from China, where they celebrated the 20th anniversary of diplomatic relations with the People's Republic. That's over last week, in the course of last week. The week before. It was the week before. And yes, the Prime Minister had a lot to say at the press conference that he held on Friday. And we will share the highlights of that with you this morning. Highlights meaning what he's reporting came out of the trip and the various discussions and engagements that he had with the Chinese authorities in that six-day visit to Beijing. We'll share it with you. The press conference itself was interesting. I found that the Prime Minister didn't get a question about the seven Americans who were detained and constructively dismissed when they entered Dominica a couple weeks ago while he was in China on a aviation tourism venture, a pilot program kind of, came into Cainfield Airport, and 2 days after they arrived, formally, openly, through the normal process, immigration process, they were singled out by the police, and they were visited at their hotel, Exotica, where they stayed, and brought down to police headquarters, questioned for over 7 hours about their immigration status, it appears. And then we heard all sorts of stories. Putting it all together, one and one equals two, and so on, it appeared that they were constructively dismissed from Dominica because it seems they were not welcome. The political directorate did not welcome them, and so the police were given instructions to intimidate them and to harass them and to make sure that they felt uncomfortable enough to leave Dominica. Matter has come, we understand, to the attention of the State Department. The senator for North Carolina, where the judge who visited with his son on their plane was involved as well, was among the seven that were harassed by police in Dominica for no good reason, we must say, because we have heard no good reason. And we also heard that the head of the Dominica Air and Seaports Authority, who had knowledge of the tourism aviation venture that Brian Lloyd had put together and was moving to implement and get going, Benoit Badwell, he was interviewed by the police in his office in the presence of his attorneys about the seven Americans who came to visit Dominica and to spend their money as tourists, but not one single question to the Prime Minister about that. I paid attention as well, and as we review in the course of the day, you will see for yourself the interesting way in which the Prime Minister chooses to answer some questions. And you will notice that questions are asked and they're not answered at the press conference. Nobody follows up to say, Prime Minister, no, I'm, that's not what the question I asked. The question I asked was this, so can I have a response from you to the specific question that I asked? And one of the areas there has to do with the public sector wage bill, which the International Monetary Fund in its recent IMF Article 4 report says has decreased. And when we look back at the numbers, we did in fact see a decrease on the order of about $20 million a year. We were puzzled as to how that happened and whether it was just attrition, whether it was just people retiring and not being replaced in their jobs, or whether it was the movement of health care workers, nursing professionals, etc., doctors and so on, from the payroll of the Ministry of Health over to the payroll of the Dominica Hospitals Authority. What would have been responsible for that? Because the $20 million increase we saw from one year to the next, decrease we saw from one year to the next, sort of looked like the majority of it came from the Ministry of Health. And it didn't make sense that we were, at the time, we were reducing cost on health care when the health care overall was so inadequate that a number of people who don't have to die are dying, and people are losing their loved ones in droves in this country at this time. So the question was put to the Prime Minister, what did you do, or what has the government done to reduce the public sector wage bill as reported by the IMF? And he just totally ignored the question and said a few things. All right, so we'll revisit all of that this morning. And there is the whole issue of the legality of the so-called housing option to access citizenship of Dominica, which we have heard about from the Prime Minister since 2019, but we've never seen any regulations to guide that. We've never seen it on the website, promoted on the website of the Citizenship by Investment Program. And again, a question was asked about that, given the regulations that came into effect in January of 2024. Where in those regulations do we find the legal authority for the operation of the so-called housing access option to citizenship, which is in the hands of Anthony Hayden and the Montreal management? All right, so we will look at all of that in the course of the morning, just reviewing what we heard and what we've done, and putting them side by side with each other, and that will happen as the morning rolls along. For now, ladies and gentlemen, I am off to the courts, the magistrate's court, and to pay attention and to attend to my matter to do with incitement from the February 7th, 2017 meeting. We'll start off this morning as we roll our conversation pieces. We'll start off with that incident, that day, the 7th of February 2017, and what I actually said, some of the things I actually said that caused me to be with the charge of incitement, caused me to be facing the charge of incitement. We begin with that in just a moment, and I'll see you later.
Is in absolutely no risk. Nobody who has come here today has had any interest in interfering with anything at all going on at the financial center. All we have come here to do is to say that Roosevelt Skerrit has disgraced our country enough. He has mismanaged our affairs enough, and it is time for him to go. In response to that, the police have invoked unlawful authority in the attempt to demand that our meeting should start at a certain time and it should end at a certain time. They have no such legal authority. And if we're going to be a rule of law country, then the police must learn to live by the rule of law. And the rule of law in this country says, we do not need permission to have a meeting, a public meeting. Edison James read the Constitution to you earlier.
Follow it on.
He read the specific law.
I am my own advisor.
And yet, over the past 15 or so minutes, I have seen police officers looking at their watches. As though the time has come now, or it's about to come for us to leave. This meeting will finish when it is finished. Commonwealth of Dominica. It is not the Commonwealth of Roosevelt Skerry. It is not the Commonwealth of Daniel Carbon. And Daniel Carbon can decide what he wants to do with his professional life. The police of Dominica can decide what they want to do with their professional lives. Whether they want to stand for Monfared or whether they want to stand for us, the people of Dominica. Monfared is in jail in Iran, awaiting trial for his role, his alleged role, in the embezzlement of billions of dollars from the state of Iran. And that is who the police has come here today to support, because the government earlier harbored him as a fugitive from justice. And the people of Dominica who have come here today, who have interfered with nobody, who have just come about our peaceful business of saying a corrupt prime minister must resign. The police is standing ready. They are all around in battle fatigue. They have their guns ready to do what? You want to shoot people for standing up? You want to shoot people for exercising their right to dissent? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It is absolutely not going to happen. And this meeting will finish when the meeting is finished. Permission from the police to have a meeting. But the police is illegally dictating that we must start now and stop now. We can go up to 11 o'clock tonight if we want, because we don't want to offend the Noise Abatement Act. And we can stop at 3 o'clock if we want. And we can start again at 4 o'clock, or we can start at 3:30. We are the people of Dominica, and the power in people is greater than the people in power. You don't work for yourself, Daniel Carbon. You don't work for yourself, police officers. You work for the people of Dominica, and that is us. We are your employees. And you're going to listen to us this afternoon. You're going to listen to us this afternoon. Because we have a right to dissent in this country. We have a right to come in the streets and to hold our placards up and to shout and to chant. Let's chant now. Let's shout and we chant. Scary must go. Let's go. Let's go. Louder. Severe crisis of confidence into which our Dominica has been plunged by his actions and his associations with international racketeers, with money launderers, with fugitives from justice who pose continuing threats to global peace and security. The Royal Bank of Canada on base has closed down the government's passport account. The only reason it could do that is because that international bank is worried that the government of Dominica is connected to money laundering. The government of Dominica is involving itself with moving the proceeds of crime. We have had enough of Monfared. On behalf of all the labor rights of this country dressed in red, we are tired of Monfared. Because the situation regarding this gentleman is especially disturbing to us. He is the holder of a Dominican diplomatic passport, DP 000426, issued on the 13th of March 2015. When Skerrit hand delivered that passport to Monfared in Malaysia, a few weeks after it was issued, Skerrit knew or ought to have known that Monfared was accused of participation in Iran's violation of United Nations sanctions and United States sanctions from his oil trading base in Malaysia. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs told us that Monfaret's diplomatic passport was cancelled on January 20th, 2016.
They said there was.
If you issued it in March of 2015, why the hell are you cancelling it less than a year later in 2016?
As you are aware, on the invitation of the government of the People's Republic of China, I led a delegation on an official visit from March 20th to 26th to mark the 20th anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic relations between our two countries. I wish to formally thank President Xi and Premier Li for the gracious hospitality extended to my delegation by officials of the government of the People's Republic of China. And in particular, the staff of China's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. We received the highest level of consideration by all whom we interacted with, and had no doubt that we were among friends. The highlight of the visit was a meeting with President Xi on Monday, March 25th. We restated our commitment to the friendly ties which have existed between our two countries for the past two decades. President Xi and I agreed that our relations are a firm example of successful collaboration and a model for mutual respect between developing countries. China is a true friend of Dominica, and President Xi reassured me of his government's intent to maintain and strengthen ties and explore further cooperation in areas of economy, education, health, and infrastructure. As you would have heard from news reports, President Xi expressed appreciation for Dominica's steadfast friendship and said he was willing to work with us to develop fresh strategies to increase cooperation and deliver sustained benefits to our peoples. I welcome these expressions of friendship and cooperation and pledge Dominica's commitment to fostering an even deeper alliance with China and expanding our economic links in new areas such as tourism, e-commerce, and renewable energy. We also held similar discussions with Premier Li to outline specific areas of collaboration. Based on our discussions, I can assure you that Dominica will continue to partner with the People's Republic of China on major initiatives designed to uplift the lives and livelihoods of our citizens. These include, among others, the road from the new airport, that's the international airport, to Portsmouth. As you can well imagine, that road project is a substantial cost. Just imagine from Lubé to Bagatelle is $171 million. So you can do the maths with 20 bridges to be constructed from the new international airport to Portsmouth. We have also received confirmation that assistance will be provided to construct a cultural center for Dominica. And this will include space for performing arts and other entertainment aspects, including designed for purpose theater, a movie theater, among other things. And of course, we'll talk about the Arakosa culture in this. and a pledge of over $27 million for interventions to go towards budget support and government initiatives to be determined by the government. And I intend to assign part of that money to commence the future housing program in Warner to address issues of housing among the new middle class of young professionals in Dominica. We also made presentations for assistance to construct a new cruise and cargo port, and we will follow up on these with the necessary submissions. In other matters, the government ministers visiting China signed 10 agreements and memoranda of understanding with the government of the People's Republic of China for one, phase 9 of the Agricultural Technical Cooperation Project. We've just concluded phase 8. We're moving to phase 9. Additional funding being made available to advance the technical cooperation between Dominica and China. So that's very welcome news for the farmers and the agricultural sector in Dominica. Two, the construction of the Collio River Wall, home repairs, and construction of modern toilets to come full circle with the elimination of pit latrines in Dominica. We still have a few left in Dominica, and we shall eliminate this, hopefully, before the middle of 2025. Three, handover certificates for the Agricultural Science Complex building in 1 mile Portsmouth. Four, economic and technical cooperation between the government of the People's Republic of China and the government of Dominica. Five, cooperation plan between our two governments on jointly promoting the Belt and Road Initiative. Six, strengthening development cooperation and promotion of the implementation of the Global Development Initiative. Seven, consideration on green and low carbon development between the National Development and Reform Commission of the People's Republic of China and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Dominica. Eight, exchange and cooperation in the field of economic development between the National Development and Reform Commission and the Ministry of Finance of Dominica. Nine, news cooperation between Xinhua News Agency of China and the Government Information Service of Dominica. And 10, an MOU between China Media Group and the Government Information Service of Dominica. The official visit also provided an opportunity to meet with potential investors to pitch ideas for sustainable business ideas in Dominica. The Minister for Finance, Honorable Dr. Irvin McIntyre, and the Minister for Tourism, Honorable Dennis Charles Pemberton, made presentations to several business leaders and investors outlining opportunities in tourism, renewable energy, agriculture, and e-commerce. There is a high interest in exploring business and investment opportunities here, and we will pursue these aggressively in efforts to open new gateways to economic growth. I also addressed the Boa for Asia Forum, where I urge leaders to adopt a collaborative approach to addressing common global challenges, such as climate change and economic inequality. Our visit culminated in Shanghai, China, which has a reputation for rapid development in foreign trade, investment, and industry. I met with the Vice Mayor to discuss possible collaboration between Shanghai and Dominica, specifically in business and industry. Again, we have every intention to follow up on these valuable links established during my official visit to China. Once again, I extend thanks to our host and to Dominican students for their hard work and showcase of Dominica's culture to a Chinese audience. And I was very much impressed with the high level of professionalism and commitment to our country displayed by the students. So some of them who have completed and some of them who are still studying in China. It really touched my sensibilities in terms of their own maturity and professionalism. And so I commend them. They all certainly made us very, very proud in China.
Win your share of $50,000 in cash and prizes. Up for grabs, $1,000 cash every week. Home surround sound system, groceries, small appliances, smartphones, Bluetooth speakers, and more. Wait, there's more. You can also be the grand prize winner of a $10,000 Visa cash card. All you have to do is top up $10 or more, sign up for any new service from Flow, pay bills in full, or switch to Flow. And you too can win more.
Get more. The romance begins from the very first sip. Treasure the rare, inviting richness found in our light wooden notes with a hint of vanilla. This rum is aged in individually selected oak bourbon barrels to guarantee a superb mellow taste with notes of dried tropical fruits, exhilarating the palate. Our unique aging process unlocks sweet, oaky notes with aromas of chocolate, toffee, and dried fruits. Angostura single barrel rum, distributed by Fine Foods Inc.
Do it, I see. How can I do it when I haven't got it? Well, get it, Cote. Do it center at Goodwill Road. Just name it, they have it. If see you, Pani, he'll order it for you. Yes, elevate your guava jam and then put you upstairs, Cote. Do it center. Albert Dimouin, let Madame Niari like her know of us, because the home design section is a housewife's delight. You see, do it center, say Pani, your hardware. Your home design, garden section, lumber, plumbing, electrical, Loughton, Belfan, Sealams. What do you name it, they got it. Lumber, cement, tiles, galvanized, showers, fancy faucets, their own brand of paint, do it best quality paint, even toys. The thing about do it center is the quality, the class, tout bagayani, extraordinary, very bell. If you see those toilet sets and things, when they are to remodel the state house, the white house, say go to do it center, they will have to go to get everything. So, ladies, fathers, and omla downstairs looking for tools and hardware, muti upstairs, the first job we power, and is the, you think it is overseas, you, it's your last year, but it's a, do it center. Your partner in home improvement, covering you from foundation to finish. If you luckily want a man,
get ready for a rhythm of savings and a chance to win the ultimate jazzcation. Shop at Fresh Markets, Best Price, or a Cash and Carry, where every $100 spent puts you in the spotlight to win big. Over $6,000 in prizes awaits, including an all-inclusive staycation at the Intercontinental Resort, 2 VIP tickets to jazz and Creole, and spending money. Make your shopping a melody of possibilities by simply writing your name and number at the back of the receipt and drop it in the box provided for you. Visit us today for a jazzy shopping experience and your chance to win the jazzcation of a lifetime.
The latest Article 4 report from the International Monetary Fund is saying some things about the Dominica economy in language couched in such a fashion that the IMF and its colleagues and its experts around the world better understand. But they're saying some things. So let's try and see if we can crack some codes here this afternoon. Number one, we're hearing that the economy has recovered fully to where it was before the COVID-19 pandemic. They talk about growth of 5.6% in 2022 and growth of 4% in 2023. And that has brought the country back to where it was before the pandemic in terms of economic output. And they say that all of this is the result of, let me quote now, an ambitious public sector investment program, PSIP, strong agricultural activity, and a rebound in tourism despite airlift challenges. Inflation fell. It was 9.7% in 2022. It was down to 2.3% in 2023. But that's not anything that we did here. It's just that global prices have softened somewhat. Then they tell us that the revenue expenditure performance has improved, but the fiscal space, the revenue expenditure space, remains tight with heightened public debt. We learn that the public debt in 2022-2023 was 103% of GDP, means that we have a higher debt than the value of goods and services in the economy. And then they talk about the financial system. They always tell us about the liquidity There's cash in the system. It's liquid. There's money there. But there is very slow growth in credit. The banks have money, but they're not lending for productive purposes as they might in an economy of this nature. Now, there's some mention of the positive outlook for the economy, which they base on full recovery of stayover arrivals in the tourism sector, implementation of key investment plans, and prudent fiscal management. So the growth now is expected to average 4.5% during 2024-2025 as stayover tourism returns to pre-pandemic levels, agricultural expansion initiatives take hold, the transition to geothermal production, the new airport and hotel projects to expand the tourism capacity, and projects to bolster resilient infrastructure are expected to yield long-term growth dividends and reduce external imbalances. All of these are part of the good news story and the good news picture that the IMF is endeavoring its very best to paint. And there's a however. The however is that shortfalls in CBI inflows could hamper implementation of planned infrastructure, climate resilience, economic activity, and the fiscal position. You know, there is a real concern that they have raised here about the citizenship by investment program. And listen to this carefully. They want the revenue over the expenditure by 3.5% of GDP by 2025-2026. This consolidation plan should be underpinned by a sizable improvement in non-CBI fiscal balances while protecting investment and other priority programs to safeguard growth and the most vulnerable. On this question of the consolidation, they're trying to bring the revenue of the government above the expenditure of the government. They're looking for $65 million. $65 million more in revenue or $65 million less in expenditure or a mix of both. They are doing this because there's a concern that the revenues from the citizenship by investment program that has been accounting for upwards of 50% of our total revenue is going to take a nosedive. It is going to decline. So now they come to strategy measures that are recommended to broaden the base of the revenue for the government and to rationalize expenditure. Now, this is the terminology of the IMF. These are the big words that the IMF uses. Let's go into what they're presenting here. Mobilize your tax revenue by streamlining tax incentives, including curtailing discretionary concession powers. What they're saying here with these terms is all of these duty-free that you're giving out willy-nilly to your friends and to supporters and so on, you need to cut that out because that is costing you revenue. Let everybody pay their fair share of duties on vehicles coming in and so on. So that's what this is saying. Tax administration needs to be strengthened, compliance management and priorities. And again, they don't say it, but the question is about being fair. You strengthen your tax administration and so on, and you're trying to get more from the existing tax measures. So it's not about going after those you don't like and garnishing the accounts of those you don't like in the bank. It's about being fair across the board, doing honest, objective assessments of their income tax liability and ensuring that what they are supposed to pay fairly and honestly is what is paid into the tax purse. And additional measures, they say, include reversing the VAT on electricity, that means your electricity bill will be higher, and raising the excise tax on diesel in line with gasoline. And that will mean that all of the vehicles using diesel that are involved in the production of goods and services, for example, like transportation services to the public in general, the bus drivers and all of those, they will have higher cost on the fuel because of the increase in diesel prices. That will be passed on to the consumer. They will pay higher cost for their transportation, as an example. And then they've asked to explore options to transition to a broader property tax regime. So they want to get more money from owners of property across Dominica in terms of taxes on the properties that they own. Now, on the spending side, the decline in the public wage bill is welcome and should be preserved, including through further civil service reform. What decline in the public wage bill is the IMF talking about here, paragraph 7 of this report? Again, on the spending side, the decline in the public wage bill is welcome and should be preserved, including through further civil service reform. What civil service reform has led to a reduction in the public wage bill? And how has the public wage bill declined? How many people went home and or how many people are being paid less? Or how many people retired and were not replaced? And is that where the reduction in the public wage bill is coming from? We'll come back to that. Then they talk about tariffs on key public services. They want your water bill to be higher, water and sewage rates to be increased, and they want you to pay for medical services. Where you don't pay right now, you may have to start to pay. Where you pay already, you might have to pay more. So they want more money for medical services. And that, they say, should strengthen the financial position of state-owned enterprises, and that would reduce the liability and risk and the current transfers that the government has to make to these statutory corporations. For example, the Dominica Hospitals Authority. Then listen to this one. The National Employment Program, NEP, has evolved beyond its original mandate. So it's now gone past what it was originally intended for. And the IMF is saying, in light of that, it needs to be reassessed from a cost-benefit standpoint. What are you trying to do here, Mr. IMF? Are you trying to cut the NEP program out completely? Are you trying to reduce the numbers? What exactly is reassessment from a cost-benefit standpoint supposed to mean? They obviously have an issue with the NEP because the IMF is saying, well, it has evolved beyond what the original mandate was. What turns on that, I don't know, but it is saying as a result of that, you must now reassess it from a cost-benefit standpoint. Now, question, has Mrs. Kerry been doing some assessment of it from the cost-benefit standpoint on the advice of the IMF to the point where he tells us now that these things can disappear with the stroke of a pen, like the NEP, the Yes We Care program, the social programs that have been helping poor people through the miseries of living in Dominica are not matters that are legislated. They're just favors given by Mrs. Skerritt, and they can be withdrawn at the stroke of a pen. So those are the measures that the government is discussing with the IMF for implementation in order to consolidate, broaden the revenue base and rationalize expenditure to create that better balance between our revenue and our expenditure. We want to make the revenues higher than the expenditure.
What has government done to reduce the public sector wage bill, as was stated in the recent IMF report?
I mean, the IMF always raises this issue. They always raise the issue about the sustainability of the wage bill. I agree with them? I don't necessarily agree with them, you know, but that these are their views on the sustainability of the wage bill. I believe what we have to address the issue of productivity. Obviously, for a small country, looking at your GDP, they always tell you that your wage bill is supposed to be a certain percentage of your GDP. Like any private sector entity, that your wage bill should not surpass an amount on. I know the FS may not like what I'm saying about the IMF and so on. So I may not surpass your a certain percentage of your revenues. You know what I'm saying? So they always raise the issue, but I do not see us, there will be no attempts to retrench any public officer, certainly not in the foreseeable future. But at the end of the day, you know, people can only keep their jobs if the country is making money, people are diligent, people are productive, that this is not about me, it's about you, it's about your children, it's about Dominica, and that we do our work diligently and, you know, and that we bring in all of the revenues to the country that we can, and we cut down on wastage at the ministry. So if you jam a vehicle and you mash it up, call the police so that we can get a police report, so that we can get insurance pay for the vehicle's repair, rather than parking the vehicle at a mechanic shop and nobody knows that the vehicle is there. And all of those things cost money. You know, and this thing will impact, because at the end of the day, you have only one treasury. You have only one consolidated fund.
Let's go back to this public wage bill. The public wage bill is really what they call personal emoluments, that salaries to public officers, wages, casual labor, allowances paid to salaried officers, and allowances paid to non-salaried officers. And those four classifications that make up the public wage bill, in 2018-2019, that wage bill was $171.5 million. 2019-2020, $179 million. And 2020-2021, $168.2 million. Back up to $171.3 million in 2020-2021. And then in 2021-2022, it shoots up to $187.2 million. That was the estimate. It came up in actual $184.9 million. And then after 2021-2022, you see a sharp reduction from an actual of $184.9 million, $185 million in 2021-2022 to $160.7 million estimated for 2022-2023, but a projection that they would end the year 2022-2023 with a wage bill of $150 million, down from $185 million in the year before. And then this year, they are budgeting up from the actual of $150 million, the public sector wage bill, they're budgeting $164.6 million. Even though you take the $164.6 million and you back it out of the actual figure of 2021-2022, you will have a reduction of $20 million per year on the public sector wage bill. That is what the IMF is seeing, and that is what the IMF is welcoming and wants to see more of. But where is this reduction coming from? And in the weeds, in the numbers, the only thing we saw that made sense was a reduction in the public wage bill in the Ministry of Health. A sharp reduction in the public wage bill in the Ministry of Health from the year 2021-2022 to 2022-2023. Let me tell you that in the previous years, Ministry of Health, the wage bill of the Ministry of Health, 2018-2019, $37 million. Following year, 2019-2020, $38.1 million. Following year 2020-2021, $34.8 million. And following year 2021-2022, $35.8 million. And then we see a sharp decline to $14.9 million in 2022-2023. That means over $20 million less on the wage bill in the Ministry of Health 1 year to the next, which sort of equates to the sort of reduction in the overall public sector wage bill that the IMF has welcomed and wants to see more of. But how was this achieved? How did you slash the wage bill in the health ministry by over $20 million from 1 year to the next? How did that happen? Is it that you have moved $20 million worth of salary and wages in the Ministry of Health from government employment over to the Dominica Hospitals Authority, which is a statutory corporation and dependent on taxes from the government in order to meet its commitments. What happened? And if it is that that is what is going on, that you're doing some fancy accounting by moving employment from the government to statutory corporations that the government fully supports with taxes, then that's not really reducing anything in terms of the government expenditure. It is basically just shifting things from here to over there, and the IMF seems to like that sort of thing. But I thought in light of this statement about public sector wage bill or the public wage bill going down, we would attempt to try to find an explanation, because we're not aware that people have been sent home in droves or that people's salaries have been cut. As a matter of fact, the reclassification exercise that was completed and went into effect last September resulted in an overall increase of $9 million on the public sector wage bill per year. And then in addition to that, you had the ministers of government, the prime minister taking a 50% salary increase, his ministers of government getting 28% salary increase, and that would have added close to $1 million on top of the 9 million. So you would have seen in reclassification for Republic Service overall and in what the cabinet ministers took for themselves, an overall increase of about 10% on the public sector wage bill as of last September. Now the IMF is advising the government that the wage bill has to go down. So what is it they're going to do? Are they going to start sending home people? Are they going to start reducing salaries? One thing is clear, they're not going to be in the mood to get any salary increases to public officers this year, which is probably why the cabinet ran ahead and fixed up itself with 50% increase for the prime minister and 28% increase for the rest of his ministers of government, knowing fully well that they're coming into a situation where they're going to tell the public officers, and they're going to tell them, well, it's the IMF that is asking us to implement these draconian measures and so on. We can't do anything about your salary. We might even be asking you to take a cut in the salary for the next couple of years, but we have already fixed up ourselves, so we're good for another few years. Wow, Dominica, wow. So there's where we are. Brace yourself. There is some hardship coming. And what is difficult to take with this is the amount of money that we should have in our treasury that could have tided us over through this rough period that is in the hands of friends of the prime minister overseas. And he's telling us boldly, there is no missing money that is due to us, the people of Dominica, when we all know that billions of dollars from the sale of our citizenships have not come into the treasury and remain overseas under the private control of Mrs. Skerrit and his friends. It is a very intolerable situation. We know that we sold 40,273 citizenships between 2016 and 2023. And we know that that brought us a total of $9.1 billion, from which we only got $2.7 billion, leaving out there a balance of $6.4 billion that has not been accounted for, and we have now been told does not belong to us. So this now puts us in a situation where we need to get serious. We need to get really serious now because of what we're hearing coming from this government and because of the government's obvious, very obvious plan to let this money that Dominica has earned from the sale of its citizenship, which is under foreign control of Mr. Skerrit and his friends, let it go away like it never happened. And I don't know anywhere in the world where a people would agree to do something as evil as that to their own country.
Get ready for a rhythm of savings and a chance to win the ultimate jazzcation. Shop at Fresh Markets, Best Price, or a Cash and Carry, where every $100 spent puts you in the spotlight to win big. Over $6,000 in prizes awaits, including an all-inclusive staycation at the Intercontinental Resort, two
too. VIP tickets to jazz and Creole. And spending money. Make your shopping a melody of possibilities by simply writing your name and number at the back of the receipt and drop it in the box provided for you. Visit us today for a jazzy shopping experience and your chance to win the jazzcation of a lifetime.
Guinness Smooth.
It's a brand new cool.
Incredibly smooth.
Perfectly balanced.
For a smooth and refreshing taste.
So how smooth? Well smooth. Guinness Smooth.
For a smooth and refreshing taste. New Guinness Smooth. Must be 18 years or older. Drink responsibly. Socialize responsibly.
Locally distributed by Belfast Estate Limited.
ProFast Pay, a new and easy way to pay. ProFast Pay, ProFast Pay.
You asked for it and you got it. A quicker way to pay your bills online. It's fast, secure, and easy to use. No registration, no additional fees. Flo is now offering FastPay, an online service that allows you to settle your bills in less than 2 minutes. Need a receipt? FastPay will send it to your email immediately. Use FastPay now for convenience, safety, and efficiency at discoverflo.co/FastPay. Flow is keeping you connected.
Do It Center shoppers, we have exciting news. Your favorite home improvement destination just got a major upgrade. Get ready to experience the all-new Do It Center online store. Fresh look, same great products, and super user-friendly. Find what you're looking for in a snap. Need assistance? We've got you covered. Connect with our live chat agents for real-time assistance. But that's not all. Introducing the convenience of seamless online payments with reliable delivery service straight to your door. Shopping for quality products has never been this easy. Don't miss out. Visit store.doitcenterdominica.com and experience the new era of our online shopping. Do It Center, your partner in home improvement.
We don't have the money.
Bring money, Mr. Abdullah. Bring money. Everybody broke down, girl. Bring money. A billion or two are free. Bring money. From our treasury overseas. Bring money.
We don't have the money.
The man never see come see. Waste all the country money. Buying election and building mansion. Now we going after credit union.
In relation to the housing component of the CBI program, I just wanted you to clarify the housing program in terms of the new CBI regulations, which were made public on January 2024. There seems to be no provisions for getting citizenship of Dominica through the housing option. What we have is the EDF, which is like a donation option, and the real estate option.
In regards to the CBI and housing and so forth, it does make provision for these special projects, social housing, including the international airport. The reality is these projects belong to the state. So when the homes are built, when the airport is built, it is state property, as opposed to the real estate, which will be owned by the shareholders. You understand? So all of this housing, the hospitals, the health centers we build, the airport, the international airport we're building, would be a state assets. What we have done, especially after the advent of Erica, with regards to building Peter Saban, for example, relocating Peter Saban, was to have a special dispensation. So you have a developer who comes in, he takes the risk in building, right? And he is reimbursed under the Citizens by Investment Program, which would allow you to have the asset that you need, but not expose you to the liabilities to the Treasury or any financial exposure or liability. We don't have to put any sovereign guarantee. So if you look, for example, at Peter Saban, at Bellevue Chopin. When we engaged MMC in there, they went in and they bought the land with their own resources. They had not sold one citizenship. They bought all the lands there, over 50 acres of land there to build the homes. They put a new water system there that serviced not only the new Bellevue Chopin, but the old Bellevue Chopin. They paid Domlek millions of dollars. They paid Flo and others millions of dollars to put infrastructure in there. They signed contracts with local contractors and the Chinese contractor to build those homes. And the first time they got any payments from the escrow account was over a year later, which means that they would have paid, used all of their monies up front to start this project. Likewise, the international airport. The international airport is $1.something billion. They signed a contract with a Chinese firm before having sold one citizenship under the airport project. Now, so the liability is theirs. There's no sovereign guarantee from the country. There's no debt associated with the international airport for the country. The country will get the international airport and everything that's in it, all of the lands and so forth. And we're seeing other countries now following that model, because the model has worked for Dominicans. And this is what it is. Likewise, the 12 or so health centers we build, including the Marigold Hospital, belong to the state. So this is how it works. And
the regulations describe a direct monetary investment as meaning an investment made directly to the government of the Commonwealth of Dominica for the purpose of citizenship by investment of an amount not less than the thresholds established in paragraph 1.3b of Schedule 1. Again, in the regulations passed in January and which supersede all previous regulations, direct monetary investment means an investment made directly to the government of Dominica for the purpose of citizenship by investment of an amount not less than the thresholds established in paragraph 1.3b of Schedule 1. So let's go to the relevant section here. It says, the following shall be payable to the government of the Commonwealth of Dominica on an application for citizenship by investment or other approved project. This goes now to what do you pay for citizenship and who do you pay it to. Again, the options. 3A says, on approval in principle of an application through a real estate investment or other approved project. This now is the $200,000 investment option. And to tell you what applies, the one of interest to us is 3B. And 3B says, the following shall be payable to the government of the Commonwealth of Dominica on an application for citizenship by investment or other approved project. B, to qualify persons through a direct monetary investment, an amount of $100,000 for the main applicant, $150,000 for a main applicant and spouse, $175,000 for a main applicant and up to three qualifying dependents, $25,000 for any additional dependent under the age of 18, $50,000 for any additional dependent 18 years of age or older. Again, what is consistent with this, what is on the website as of today, and what is in the regulations, which took effect in January of this year, is that you have two options for citizenship. The direct cash option, which is called the Economic Diversification Fund, the EDF, and the real estate option. There's still no housing cash option for citizenship of the Commonwealth of Dominica, either published by the government on its website or in the law, the regulations governing citizenship by investment in Dominica. And so at this stage, we're asking about the legality
of the so-called housing option that Mr. Skerritt told us he introduced for and on behalf of Montreal Management Company some years ago. And through it, significant sums of money have been raised under the Citizenship by Investment Program. With this now, let's go back and revisit what actually happened with this housing option. We didn't know about it. It was introduced, sneaked in behind the backs of the people.
Every one of these houses that we are building under the CBA program belong to the state, 100%. So it's a state asset.
But Skerritt decided that instead of putting the people's money into the people's treasury, the people's consolidated fund, he would put the money into a special account.
It is treated somewhat like the fund option. So the fees applicable to the housing are the fees applicable if you were to invest in the government direct monetary option.
For the avoidance of doubt, all the monies from the EDF, the direct cash option, go into the state treasury. The fees for the housing program are the same as the EDF option. But Skerritt's sweetheart deal allows MMCE to use the CBI housing money to build houses and to make a development profit on the difference between the cost of the houses built and the amount of passport money collected for the housing.
If we did not go with the housing program in the way that we went, that all of this revenue would go to the state. And therefore, it would form part of the estimates.
Yes.
On the public sector investment program.
This housing program is illegally diverting CBI revenues generated through the EDF option from the Treasury into a special account. The program is exclusive to Montreal Management Company, which Skerritt has facilitated to cannibalize Dominica's flagship direct cash contribution program. Section 76 of the Constitution, the Supreme Law of Dominica, provides that, quote, all revenues or other monies raised or received by Dominica, not being revenues or other monies that are payable by or under any law for the time being enforced in Dominica into some other fund established for a specific purpose, shall be paid into and from a consolidated fund, end of quote. These revenues raised from the Citizenship by Investment Program of the State of Dominica are public funds and properly belong in the Treasury, the Consolidated Fund of the State of Dominica. There is no law requiring such revenues to be paid into some other fund established for a specific purpose. They must be received into and disbursed from the consolidated fund.
Had we included this in the estimates, the budget would not be $1 billion. It would be about $2 billion, $2.2 billion.
We are finding out now that it has never been published as an option, not on the government's website, and it is not in any regulations up till now. How then is it legal? And how does it continue to operate? These are the questions that you ask yourself based on the information that is before us. So let's revisit what has happened with our money, especially through this housing option, and how do you explain all the discrepancies that have emerged with the citizenship by investment money to the point where in the 7-year period, 2016 to 2023, we have an amount of $6.4 billion that cannot be accounted for. Between 2017, 2018 and 2019, 2020, the MMC share of the CBI cash option revenues increased by 271%, while government's EDF share declined by 64%. By June 30, 2020, 73% of all CBI revenues from direct cash contributions came through MMCE under the control of Anthony, Mr. Abdullah Hayden, while 27% came into Dominica through the EDF.
And one of the things that why you will see, for example, is a reduction in revenue over the years for government. It is not that the program is doing worse off this year than the previous years. It is because you have more projects.
Skerry told us as much in August 2019 when he lauded the MMC-controlled housing option as Dominica's premier CBI program.
The housing program now is the premier program. If we did not have the housing program, you would see a dramatic number in terms of revenue for the government, because now the housing program is doing better than the fund option.
Note well, if we did not have the housing program, you would see a dramatic number in terms of revenue for the government. In other words, the housing program, which could easily be handled under the EDF cash option, has taken away the dramatic revenue numbers from government and placed them in the hands of Hayden and MMCE.
Now, if we did not have this project and we had this agent selling for Dominica, all of this money would have been part of revenue in the consolidated fund. These monies go into the development, therefore it cannot be part of revenue.
As far as Skerry is concerned, that money, by signed agreement, belongs to Hayden and MMCE. Once he does housing projects, at whatever cost, whether it is significantly less than the CBI money he has collected, nothing is due to the people of Dominica. They have no change for us. As far as Skerry is concerned, Dominica passport money through the housing citizenship access option is not Dominica's money. It is Hayden's money.
We've tried other people who come in and say they want to do the similar projects. When they found out that you have to sign on stat, no, they pull back. Because it's a huge undertaking. Yeah, it's a huge undertaking that that MMC is doing. And I said to people, if we in Dominica have an issue with MMC and we believe that there's some other person that can do it, I will engage MMC if we got stability in the contract with them for their airport and get other people to do it. But we must not seek to create a feeling that there's something untoward or things not being done right or something. This is not true at all. The others who have come to us, the others who presented designs for us, draft agreements to us, but when they found out what the requirements really are, then they pull out. And that is how it is. So this is what we are, this is how we approach the project. We will break ground, hopefully, in the month of May for the marina in Portsmouth. And so it's a government project. You understand? Government would own the asset, right? So this is how it is. So the airport at the end of the day will belong to the country. As a matter of fact, I will tell you, the feasibility for the international airport was done by Range. You know, we had an agreement with Range to do the feasibility for the international airport. And this is how we got the American company to do the feasibility for us and to advise us on the location for the airport and the runway and everything under the similar terms and conditions, all right? But of course, Ranger moved to Grenada and St. Lucia and others, and then we had Maria, and of course that's true of everybody else. And then MCA felt that they could take on the challenge. And we have an opportunity now to get it done. And then we're seeking to undermine it, that we're creating all kinds of manners of evil around the project. Come on. And I don't think it's fair to MC, who everybody embraced because they came and they built all of his homes for us in Bellevue Shopee and so on. And for us now to have all of his efforts on social media to denigrate them. Where's our sense of gratitude and gratefulness and our greatest sensibilities of human beings? That we use people and when we think that we don't have use for them, that we can just spit them out. Or we may have some personal issues with them. But we should not lose sight of the greater good and our greater responsibility. So we should all be really be rallying for MC and to ensure that all of the challenges and the issues that we have to deal with where CBI is concerned, that we have an opportunity to successfully complete the project.
And you know, there are certain agents of the CBI program obviously wishing they were in Hayden's shoes, who describe the arrangement as wonderful because government gets infrastructure projects with no risks. Because, of course, for these Dominican passport pirates, the risk of losing billions of dollars from the sale of citizenship to crooks and criminals is no risk at all. My brothers and sisters of Dominica, are you okay with this heist? Are you just going to stand aside as it passes into the pages of our history?
I want juice! Oh, juice! But only one will do. Want juice? On any day, especially today, or a hot day, I only want Pine Hill juice. Oh, so fruity, so tantalizingly, so quenchingly refreshing. A burst of real fruit in every box. I enjoy orange, sweetened or unsweetened. How about you? There's many flavors to choose from. Blackcurrant, cranberry, pineapple, Bajan cherry, apple, fruit punch, passion fruit, guava pineapple, Pine Hill, rich in vitamins, healthy and nutritious. Available in large and small boxes. Pine Hill, flavor in every drop. I've got the only juice I want, Pine Hill juice. Pine Hill, distributed by Belfast Estate Limited.
Dominica's International Creole Cultural Magazine presents Creole Heartbeat Hour on QFM The Big Station this and every Friday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon. Interviews, music, fun and excitement. An informative and educational hour. An upfront and personal look at the lives of artists, musicians, entertainers, cultural professionals and the movers and shakers in the cultural industry. A front row seat into the Creole cultural, traditional, and contemporary spinal cord. A microscopic Creole cultural analysis, highlighting achievements and triumphs, realizing dreams and goals, and showcasing the journey to excellence. Delving beneath the surface of Creole cultural history, a report on the character of the Creole culture. Dominica's International Creole Cultural Magazine presents Creole Heartbeat Hour on Q95 The Big Station this and every Friday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon. Be sure to tune in.
Special guest on Creole Heartbeat this Friday, April 12th at 11 a.m. on the big station Q95 FM. Henry Babs Dyer, the attorney. Henry Babs Dyer, the politician. Henry Babs Dyer, the family man. Henry Babs Dyer, the community man. Henry Babs Dyer, the regional and international man. Sponsored by Digicel and hosted by Prince Wadix. And will be live on Q95 FM Facebook page. Henry Babs Dyer, the Dominica man, will be on Creole Heartbeat this Friday, April 12th on the big station Q95 FM from 11 a.m. Creole Heartbeat, a front row seat into the culture of Dominica.
CARICOM chairman praises Prime Minister. He's much nicer than you think. Hey, Roosevelt's carrot. Let me tell you something, boss man. stay out with politics, eh, boss man? Roosevelt Skerritt, Prime Minister of Dominica, would you like it if I come in there and talk about your politics during your election? We're in the heat of a local government election. Our private domestic business. You come in we country to tell we that Rowley is not really a devil. He nicer in person. We couldn't care less. But what you have to say about Rowley? We know Rowley. We live with Rowley. We hear Rowley. We smell Rowley. We know who does walk down the step in Rowley house past the tree dog, the parrot, and lie down on the red couch. We know how evil Rowley is. You are fast and out of place to come in Trinidad and Tobago when we are in an election to throw your mouth in the election to tell me what you think about Rowley. Save that for when you're drinking scotch and on the golf course with Rowley, that's all the business. You're embarrassing your country, Roosevelt Skerritt. Him, CARICOM chairman, praises PM. He's much nicer than you think. He was a Dr. Keith Rowley is a much nicer man than some of us think. How you know he's a nicer man than you think? You walk down the steps, you pass the tree dog, you ask Darrell Smith if Rowley is a nicer man than we think. When he went with Darrell Smith's wife, while Darrell Smith was a minister of sport in his cabinet, why you don't ask him that, Skerritt? If he go with your wife, you go come and tell me, Anil, yeah, Rowley, yeah, he took my wife down the steps. He took her down on the red couch. But he's a nicer guy than I think, you know, because I needed help. You know, I need horny goat meat too, and he helped me. So my wife was happy. Huh? You talking about he's a nicer man? Who asked you, boy? Something is wrong with you, sir? Dr. Keith Rowley is a much nicer man than some of us think. You just have to get to know him. He was at the time thanking Prime Minister Dr. Keith Rowley for accepting his proposal to host the 45th regular meeting. He accept your Rowley, accept your proposal with we money after he hosts all here for $3.4 million to talk a set of nonsense. And how much he spend now? 15, 20 million. So much they spend without procurement that Imbert had to go and say, remove that from under the procurement regulator and the procurement act. And you come to tell we how Rowley nicer than we think? Boy, fire on you, boy. But furthermore, that the best compliment you could give your brethren? That he's nicer than we think? No. He's a scumbucket. So you don't come to tell us what we know about Rowley, boss man. Okay, if you like him, you take him to Dominica when we vote him out of here, and you go on the golf course, you lie down on the couch, you sit down on the couch, you do whatever you want with Rowley, because you find he's a nice man. You could have him. Skerritt also defend impacts. Well, boss man, you just hit everything out of the park this week here. I didn't care about you. I didn't know about you. I'm not interested in you. But you just come in we face, in we place, in we patent place, as Rowley would say. And you come to defend impacts and talk about Brent Thomas. Let me hear what you say. Let me listen carefully to you, boy, Skerritt.
I'm staying on the topic of free movement to live and work. Of course, Prime Minister Skerritt, in your opening statement, you did mention possibly more reliance on the regional security system and, of course, the Implementation Agency for Crime and Security Impacts. But, of course, a few months ago, we know that these two agencies came under very much question, with one judge describing... with what one judge described as the kidnapping of TNT's national Brent Thomas. CARICOM citizens are somewhat still in the dark as to what exactly happened, how these two agencies were activated. Some are alleging unauthorized use of these agencies and alleged abuse of power. Did this fumble at all arise during your discussions? And of course, how can citizens be assured that this may not recur? Thank you.
Well, I don't think we can respond to this. You know, impacts and all of the security architecture, you know, we believe that we accept and we know that they're operating within the laws of the countries. And they have served us well. And I think where we have to be very careful that we as politicians, whether we're in government or out of government, that we do not make statements that are not factual, and in order to seek to score political points. you know, we have to be very careful that we don't unnecessarily put into question these institutions that are serving us well, especially where our own security within the region is concerned. So I do not subscribe to what you're saying, and therefore I cannot respond to your specific question with the allegation.
Well, Skerret, my mother always said, if you have nothing to say that would be intelligent, or if people feel that you're not bright, stay quiet. Don't open your mouth and remove all doubt. Skerret, if you don't know anything, if you don't know the facts, if you didn't read, if you didn't know the intricate nature of what actually took place, then you should have shh. You see how Mia Amor Motley? She shh. You see how Rowley? Shh. Because you're going to talk about politicians and politics. You're attacking the United National Congress, the UNC, the opposition in Trinidad. Well, sir, you are fast and out of place. The Brent Thomas issue came to the fore based on a judgment after detailed analysis, submissions, and cross-examination and evidence collection in a case and a judgment by Devendra Rampersad. It was no rumor. It was no talk. Not trying to score points for politics. And the facts of the case showed that Trinidad and Tobago police officers got on your IMPACT's CARICOM plane without the permission and the authority of the Commissioner of Police, without the Minister of National Security, without the permission of Prime Minister Keith Rowley. They somehow got on your CARICOM IMPACT's plane, landed in Barbados, got the Barbados Constabulary, the police, to act without court order, without warrant, without extradition treaty, without paperwork, without the rule of law, to go in a hotel, drag a man out, put him in a cage, kidnap him, put him on your plane, and bring him back to Trinidad and Tobago. You ain't know nothing. You starting to attack the opposition and try to score political points. You are a total embarrassment. You open your mouth and the whole CARICOM realize that you more dotish than Rowley boy. Stay in Dominica and study waterfall and tourism. Don't come here and talk no stupidness. You embarrass yourself. You embarrass your country. And if you do not have the answer, shut up. Barbados Attorney General went in Parliament and admitted their police acted illegally. You didn't read that? You didn't know that? The police commissioner here in the Joint Select Committee in Parliament said the Commissioner of Police gave no authority whatsoever. The judgment of Devendra Rampersad was scathing and stated that the rule of law was breached. No court order, no extradition treaty, and police reach on a carry complaint, and you come to tell me about it has served us well? Mr. Man, you should have just shut your mouth if you don't know. Embarrass your whole country. Caribbean leaders urge the region to rally around the West Indies. Now, Skerret, me and know what is your relationship with Rowley, you know. But I'm starting to feel like something like the minister man, like you want to study which man was in what van, because you just have a kind of love for Rowley. Everything but Rowley, you just, in 3 days, you just want to lick K-Pax all day. Look what Skerret come to say now. Speaking at the end of the annual Caribbean Community CARICOM Summit here on Wednesday night, Dominica's Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerret noted the Facebook page, he noted the Facebook page of Rowley. But you starstruck. You starstruck by Rowley. What Rowley do you, boy? Skerret announced that the leaders had taken a decision to name Rowley as the new chairman of the Prime Ministerial Subcommittee and the discussions on West Indies cricket. And then he continued, oh, Skerret, you is a star boy of stupidity. Dominica Prime Minister asked, why Caribbean women buy fake eyelashes? CARICOM Chairman Roosevelt Skerret questioned, the large number of false eyelashes bought by the region's women in order to make a novel plug for Caribbean people to spend their money buying locally and regionally grown food produce rather than imported food stuff. So why you didn't say why so many Caribbean men spend so much money on horny goat weed? And if they stop spending their money on horny goat weed, they could then buy local produce and so on. Or if, why so many Caribbean men spend money on Viagra? Instead, you know, they shouldn't spend that because that's not helping them. They're useless anyway. And they could spend more on yam and cassava and so on. You just going to attack women who wear their eyelash and they find they look good? It's their choice. But you just, out of the top of your head, the only thing you could do is attack and denigrate women about their looks? Ah, birds of a feather flock together. And I take him a time because I don't want to make a mistake. Birds of a feather flock together, Skerrett, because Rowley is the biggest misogynist in the history of prime ministers, but it looks like you are running a close second because Rowley want to groom woman in the parliament and the man must groom the woman. You now studying woman eyelash to tell we buy tomato and yam. So I now understand the affinity, the love that both of y'all have together. Both of y'all are the same kind of useless male human being, misogynistic ingrates, brought up in a way, a form of fashion that is denigrating to women. Y'all have no respect or understanding for the fairer sex. So die while you like he. Yes, man, to you, he nicer than people think. Because you find woman is second-class citizen, you must also agree that woman must lie down on a couch, walk down steps, pass three dog a pallet and lie down on a couch to get a walk, to become a minister, to become a deputy political leader, to be a minister, to let rain fall on your weave. You must lie down under me to get a walk. That's what you feel too. So you come in a CARICOM, you the head of CARICOM, and attack woman eyelash? Wow, Skerrett. Wow.
Struggles from the 70s when Uncle Philip Timothy died for our liberty. We didn't constitutionalize, so it seems his blood was shed in vain. Cause look, today we're facing a worse dictator again. The hero from your struggle has joined the oppressor.
The oppressor.
And they are wickeder than before. Look, they're recruiting young brothers who are willing to turn the guns on their brothers. They even want to change the constitution, all for the protection of a corrupt politician. So, grandmama, we gotta fight. We got to fight. Fight that war again. We're gonna protest again. There is a time for everything under the sun. A time for civil disobedience. When democracy is threatened, citizens must stand. Cause there's always another dictator who wants to stay in power forever. Hunting us in these times.
Once rich Venezuelans, now refugees from their homeland. Did you see the scores of Dominicans at the Red Clinic on the food line? They live in the times, but they're still looking out for the signs. And if Caribbean leaders are silent in the face of wrong, how can we ever unite as one? We're separated by sea, but blood is thicker than water. Any blood on the streets of Dominica is blood on the hands of each and every other Caribbean leader. So, Grandmama, we gotta fight. Oh, we got to fight. Fight that war again. Grandmama, we gonna fight. We gonna fight. We gonna protest again. There is a time for everything under the sun. A time for civil disobedience. When democracy is threatened, citizens must stand. Cause there's always another fool who wants to rule, rule the world. Is never free. It demands sacrifice and loyalty to God and country. Protesters have purpose this time around. They will not run when the police return with their chemical weapons and guns. And if for me, my tomorrow never comes, tell your lordship the bishop, don't be too late to speak out and remind the police their office to defend the state. They are free men and women who will stand and give an account for the decisions that they make. So, Grandmama, we gotta fight. Oh, we got to fight. Fight that war again. Grandmama, fight. We're gonna fight. We're gonna protest again. There is a time for everything under the sun. A time for civil disobedience. When democracy is threatened, citizens must stand. Cause there's always another madman who wants to rule. We won't turn back. We won't turn back.